Doug McLean joins us now. He of the NHL on Sportsnet, perhaps on a beach somewhere. Hello, Doug.
How you doing?
Doing all right. I feel like I hear water in the background. Are you on a beach? Are you on a boat?
He's in the bath?
Florida yesterday. So we're just driving back slowly to Columbus, Ohio tonight.
Okay. Perfect. What a lovely place to be. So this Vegas Golden Knights team, it's ridiculous. And I know, listen, so much of it is unpredictable. But Jonathan Marchessault, I mean, the guy's a 30-goal scorer. Riley Smith has been a good player in this league. That's, man, for Dale Tallon, that Florida Panthers team to revisit that, that's got to be a tough one to watch the way they've performed this postseason, really all regular season as well.
Yeah, they've been really good, and you watch those two, and then you watch Holla and Tuck, and you say, well, what about Minnesota? They probably could have used them too. And then you look at Schmidt, Washington. Well, Washington's still playing, so you don't mind that one as much. But Theodore has played real well in the back end, and not to mention Fleury has outplayed Murray and Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of guys that have outplayed a lot of players on the teams they've come from. But Marchessault and Carlson and Riley Smith have been one of the best lines in the NHL the entire year. And I remember we talked to George McPhee at Christmas and said, George, this is a top five line in the league. And he said, I mean, there's no doubt about it. They are a top five line in the league. And now going against, the Scheifele line and good defense pairs, they're still a dominant line. And, well, last night, those were a couple of great plays. Big mistakes, but great plays.
For the two Marchessault goals, I was wondering your thoughts on it, because on the first one, he goes forehand, backhand, and slides it five hole past Hellebuck. And then on the second one, he obviously gets a pass from across the other side, and Hellebuck has to slide over because he's worried about the one-timer. But then Marchessault goes forehand, backhand again, and then shelves it. And I'm wondering if in the back of Hellebuck's mind, there was like a pause thinking that he might try the same thing through five hole for the second goal.
Well, that's why he's good, because he's really creative when he's in that slot area. You know, when he's in tight, he's at his best. And, you know, it's funny, I talked to a former scout of mine that actually lives in Vegas, and he said, you know, Doug, I'm telling you, I watch this guy every night this season. He is a big-time special talent. And not only talent, like you just talked about, Ashley, but also character and plays hard. He's almost... You know what? He's starting to remind me of a Marty St. Louis, the way he competes and the way he plays, and a small guy. But, I mean, he scores on the power play on one-timers. He scores in tight, like you just talked about. I mean, he's doing it all for them offensively, and he's been doing this for 3 years, to be quite honest. I mean, we forget that he scored 20-plus high 20s in Tampa before he went to Florida as a free agent, and then had 2 years there. So... And Ryan, and I remember Jarrett telling me when he was coaching the Panthers that Riley Smith was his smartest offensive player. He was his smartest player. So all of a sudden, that's two-thirds of their number one line, and a real good line last night.
How sustainable is this, Doug? Because, okay, I get it. I mean, this has been an incredible run, and Marchessault was re-signed. James Neal is a free agent. They have a couple of restricted free agents, but they got $24 million at least in cap space this offseason, and it feels like already, like in year two, Vegas is a premier free agent destination. I mean, where do you see this franchise going in the next couple of years?
Well, that's going to be the ultimate test. I mean, we've been saying they're going to be tested at different times this year. Well, they're good at home. They're going to be tested when they go on a long road trip, and then they come through with flying colors. You know, and there's an unbelievable mood in that room. There's an unbelievable amount of confidence. I mean, they're in a really good place right now. Now, next year coming back, you know, there's a good chance James Neal, I mean, they will try to sign him. I suspect he may, if he's smart, he may stay there. But you know what? Next year will be tougher. There's no doubt about it. And this series will get tougher, too. I mean, Winnipeg, to me... Look, I expected Winnipeg to struggle in game one, coming off an emotional seven-game series against Nashville. I thought, how are they going to be ready to play in game one? And all of a sudden, they come out in game one with a great start, finished okay. But then last night, maybe it caught up to them. And they did not look sharp early on. I know they had a couple of goal posts and they couldn't up 2-0, but they didn't look crisp and didn't look great a lot of the night. And Vegas played real well, and we're on a mission. So this to me is still going to be a long, long, tough series. Like, Winnipeg can go in and win in Vegas. There's no doubt in my mind. But Vegas will not be an easy out. They will not be an easy out.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's been ridiculous. Yeah, I want to shift over to the other series, Doug, because the Washington Capitals, of course, it felt like last year was the year, right? They win the President's Trophy, they make the additions at the deadline, and still they lose in Game 7 on the knob of a stick. Marc-Andre Fleury keeps them away from first conference final under Alex Ovechkin. I don't know if there's any debate as to whether this team is worse on paper than the one a season ago, but they do feel different, right? Like, I don't know if that's maybe we're just evaluating off of the results here, but you tell me, is there something different that we can glean from this Caps team that makes them, I don't know, maybe mentally different from the team of a season ago?
I heard that line with Ovi. Is there, look, Backstrom, and they're still dominating Tampa Bay, but Wilson's done a real Columbus and come on at the end of that series and played tremendous. But that top six dominated Columbus, and top six is right now dominating Tampa Bay, and that's hard to believe. But the big thing that's jumping out at me is, what about Orlov, and what about Orpik, and what about, I mean, Carlson, and what about Niskanen? And that four have been real good, and then that's not to mention Holtby yet, who lost his job down the stretch and come back in Game 3 of the Columbus series. Well, the third period of Game 2, but really got the start in Game 3. So they're a much more confident group, and they're playing exceptionally well. And then you can throw Beagle in there with big face-off wins and, you know, clutch goal by Pelly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, their goaltending has been real good versus Tampa's, which has been average for me in both games. So, I mean, to me, this could be a sweep.
Yeah, I was wondering about Washington because, you know, depending on whether or not you believe in momentum and if teams can create momentum, if it's tangible, like, what can Tampa even do to disrupt that? Because at this point, it just feels like the Capitals' mindset is just in the right place. Going down 0-2 early against Columbus, then winning 10 of 12 to get to this point, it seems like they're not going to get too far ahead. They're kind of thinking in the moment. They know what's at stake.
Well, you know what, they're keeping their focus. You saw when the terrible penalty the other night with the high stick call. I mean, they didn't disintegrate. Neither did Vegas when it happened to them. You know, with the bad goal the other night, the controversial goal. I mean, those teams are staying focused. But Washington's focus is real strong. They let it go. They complained to the referees. They were sour about it, and then they went out and killed the penalty. And all of a sudden, their focus is 100%. So, you know, Trotz, look, this is a great story. Trotz, I still don't know if he's going to be back there. They're going to try to get him to go back. I had heard at Christmas he was not going back. He didn't want to go back. He's had his fill of them. He's in the last year of his contract. There's been some challenges there with he and management. And now what do they do? Now he's got the team, you know, a couple of wins away from going to the Stanley Cup Final, dominating a contender, a team that's picked as a contender. And, I mean, they've taken their speed away in the neutral zone. I mean, Tampa Bay right now look like a slow team, and we know how quick they are. They've forechecked the daylights out of McDonough, Hedman, the entire blue line on Tampa Bay looks fragile right now, so, you know, give Washington full marks, and Cooper's got to figure this out real fast, or they're going to be out of it.
Yeah, Barry Trotz with a 12-second media availability today on Nicholas Backstrom, not divulging whether he'll be available for tonight's game, but it seems like he's day-to-day, at least it's skating. Let's bring it back to the Leafs here before we let you go, Doug. So Mark Hunter, Lou Lamoriello, they're still with the organization for the time being. What would you rate the chances of either guy remaining with the Maple Leafs going forward through next season?
Well, I can't believe Lou will be there. I mean, I don't know what alternative he's going to have. I mean, we keep the Islander thing seems to be alive. Is he going to have an opportunity? I suspect he does. I know they've been looking for a president of hockey ops for over a year. You know, I knew that for a fact. They're 6-8 months ago that they were desperately, not desperately, but we're looking for a guy to come in and run the franchise and be a guy that would oversee Snow and the coaching staff. So it'll be interesting to see if he does take that. Mark Hunter's an interesting story. I've got to believe that Shanahan has got to come up with a way to try to keep him there, and whether it's a different title, whether it's more money, And you got to say, okay, where's Mark going to go? I mean, he's not going to get a GM's job today. There's no jobs available. Why wouldn't he just stay and try to work and build his resume and then take a GM's job on, you know, at least apply for one? You got Paul Fenton that's interviewed for 100 jobs. He's down to the final two, it looks like, with him and Tommy Fitzgerald in Minnesota. I mean, jobs are hard to get. They're not easy. So I hope Hunt stays. And, you know, I think Kyle's a pretty reasonable guy. I don't know that it'll be that hard to work for him if the job description is defined properly. So I hope that's the case and he thinks long and hard before he leaves, because they need him. And I also think Shanahan's got to be way, way more involved with Lou leaving, because he's going to have to help Dubas deal with this coach.
Yeah, do you think – so I know there's no GM jobs available right now, but we heard the interest, obviously, from the Colorado Avalanche in Kyle Dubas. You don't hear those rumors about Mark Hunter. Do you think, like, if there were an opening, he would be on people's radars? Is there something that separates him from Dubas in regards to people evaluating him as a GM? Because, we didn't – the Avalanche did not reach out to him. They only reached out to Dubas.
Well, if you really look at the way the GM jobs are today, they're more aligned with what an assistant GM job was 5-7 years ago. You know, they really are. I mean, they've got most teams now have the president of hockey ops, and they look for more of an administrative type guy that can come in that's also a good, solid hockey guy. You know, Dubas has worked. It paid his dues from major junior to being 4 years here with the Marlies. So, you know, it's a good move from my opinion, but he's also a strong administratively. I don't mean analytics. I don't buy into that BS. I mean, I think it's an important part of the operation. I think it's a part of the operation, and I think he's smart enough. As Shanahan said the other day, you know, in today's game, analytics is part of it, but it's not the end all and be all, but you've got to be at least in tune with what's going on with it. So I just think Dubas is more of an administrative and maybe fits the mold a little bit better of what teams are looking for today. But Hunt is a real good hockey man. And, you know, to me, he's more of an evaluator. But that's still a critical, critical part of an organization. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. If it's not for Mark Hunter, they don't have Marner. And I'm not sure who else they don't have. He was instrumental in a lot of those young players being there. Instrumental probably than anybody else in the organization.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's unblemished record, really, when it comes to player evaluation. Yeah.
And I would say a Tommy Fitzgerald and a Paul Fenton really fall into the Mark Hunter category of hockey people. That's how I see them.
Before we let you go, would you, Doug McLean, have a problem working for a 31-year-old, answering to a 31-year-old? Would that be an issue for you?
If they were paying me, it wouldn't faze me in the least. If he was 21, 25, 31, or if it was a she. If Ashley would pay me and she was a GM, I would gladly work for her as well.
So you'd only work with me if I was paying you?
What, like a lot.
Like a lot. Oh, my gosh.
As a hockey guy.
Yeah. Thanks, Doug. Enjoy Columbus.
Take care, guys.